A wet saw starts up and begins grinding on a tube of glass in a shop in Engineering Hall on the University of Arkansas campus. It is the equipment of the U of A's resident glassblower, who works primarily with things that are used in the various science departments on campus. Picture beakers, tubing, flasks, and other glass vessels. Due to its impermeable nature, glass is an important tool in science, especially chemistry.
If you want to run a reaction outside of air, glass container is your best bet. Because, you know, you can heat it and do things like that. And you can tailor your container to for exactly what you want to do.
That's Bill Durham, professor in the U of A's chemistry department. He says that having somebody on campus that can make specialized equipment is critical to what students and teachers are doing. Dr. Matt McIntosh, also a professor in the chemistry department, agrees that the presence of a glassblower on campus is important.
Because we have a couple of reasons. One is that we have, I and other groups, research groups, have needs for custom setups of various kinds. So you can buy a lot of glassware from various commercial supply houses, but they're going to be in sort of standard shapes and sizes and configuration. But for custom configurations, which are very common, you really need to have someone on site that you can go and talk to and describe what you want, and they can describe, John can describe how it could be put together and what the possibilities are.
What I do, the work that I do, I take glassware that can be made in a mold in a machine.
That's John Pace, the U of A's resident scientific glassblower.
And so anything single-walled and symmetrical can pretty well be made in a mold.
Okay.
And this consists of vessels, valves, joints, and filters of various kind, and then I'll assemble that into some type of apparatus. Like this isn't really, there's something, inside. The machine really can't do that.
John Pace's position is a unique one, and one that he happened into. As a student studying wildlife management at the University of Missouri, he worked in the benefits office. That office was next to the HR department, and he saw that they wanted an apprentice glassblower.
And that sounded better than, working in the benefits and filling out cards. This was before, much on the computer was going. The glass blowing sounded better, so I applied for it. And basically, the requirement was to be, to be able to get along with a cantankerous glass blower, type of personality, and then to be a bit of have dexterity in your hands. And I typed really well, and I played guitar, and I got along with the guy. And that's how I got the job.
He says it turned out to be interesting. He had always enjoyed carpentry, machinery, and seeing how things worked. When he graduated, he found that glass blowing was just as profitable as having a BS in wildlife management, and has now been blowing glass for over 30 years, working both in academia and for private companies. He prefers the work at a university, it being more versatile and providing more freedom.
And a little bit more thinking involved. You're dealing with students and the professors, and you're developing items sometimes that haven't been used before.
John has been with the U of A for 12 years, a position that he waited 4 years to step into, as jobs as scientific glassblowers are not a dime a dozen. Due to changing research methods, increasing in the ease of communicating with off-site glassblowers, and administrators' diminishing value, few glassblowing shops exist at universities in the United States.
It's only the major universities that have ever had glassblowers. It requires, a substantial chemistry department or scientific, departments to have enough work to do glassblowing.
In addition to the chemistry department, engineering and crop, soil, and environmental sciences utilize his services. But even with all of the work the U of A has, John still has the time to work for universities that do not have enough work to employ a full-time scientific glassblower. Scattered about his shop are large boxes and crates with equipment that comes from schools such as the University of Missouri and University of California, San Diego. Both are schools for which Mr. Pace has previously worked. He claims to have OCD tendencies, something that the professors are used to and count on, finding it worthwhile to send him pieces for repair. That is what he's working on today. The piece is a tube, or column, about an inch around and a foot long. One end is a glass ball, a bit larger than a softball. This ball is broken.
And, yeah, I'm going to put, basically seal this onto it, and then seal this onto the top of that. And just kind of a two-step thing. I'd left pick that so you could see what was there. You know, that's how something is sent. There it is. Fit there. And then I'll just...
He places the piece in a lathe, a large machine that holds and turns the glass while he's working on it. Once the glass is safely in the lathe and begins to turn, he puts on protective eyewear and inserts a thin, non-glass tube into his mouth and fires up his torch. He uses the heat from the torch, centrifugal force, pressure from his breath and gravity to remove the broken ball, to force an opening into the new ball of glass, and to attach it to the old column.
When things go right on this, it looks just as easy and, simple to do, but there's a lot more going on than meets the eye.
Though John works with a close eye and a steady hand, there's blood coming from a cut on his right hand. A cut that he got while cleaning up his workbench. It's an occupational hazard that he says has gotten better with experience.
The first month that I worked, I had a Band-Aid on every finger and multiple Band-Aids on several fingers, and that is not an exaggeration. Hot glass looks just like cold glass. And at first, you also cut yourself. You'll reach out and pick up something that, has a sharp edge on it, and you're just, not paying attention enough. You do need to be meticulous in your movements, and you develop essentially a method of when you make something, you set it down the same way to where the hot end is always, on the same end or away from you or whatever, and you just develop technique.
Most probably picture an artist at the mention of a glass blower, but John says his work is not an art, but rather a craft.
What I am maybe is a Xerox machine. If somebody, can come up with a configuration and it's possible to make, out of glass, I can do that, with their design. But whenever I try to create art, I fail. I don't know when to stop. I keep, trying to adjust. And
a perfection he feels he can achieve with scientific glass, though some might call it art, with its sleek lines and near-perfect circles. And one might think that this attainable perfection would be John's favorite thing about his work, but it isn't.
To be honest, I would say it's the people. And you get in academia, and there are some real odd characters. But it's hard to get to know them unless there's a reason to, they need me. And so they open up. And you get to see kind of the personality of them.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.